Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Are you using a new camera, by the way? You look good in HD, I think. Is that I saw it?
Well, I'm plugged in, so.
What kind of camera are you using?
I just got a Logi 1080p. I don't have a real camera yet. I just have the same one I've had. This wedding coming up, dude. This wedding is
crushing your soul.
As far as dollar wise, it's like the wedding's kicking my ass, and then as far as like hour wise, work is kicking my ass. So it's like,
yeah.
Well, I haven't bought the camera. The camera, I think I'm gonna do right before the end of the year for. Tax purposes, but
but you look, I'm telling you, you look good in HD. I'm telling you,
I appreciate it.
Handsome man. But you know, I think it's important. You know, I wanted to redraft. We're heading into week four, so we have a pretty good data sample size, 3 games. Now, I know that's not a huge sample size of player, you know, data points, but it's enough in the NFL to start making some takes, understanding what we got wrong, trimming off the fat. But redrafting the first round just reassesses our rankings from what we had in the preseason. And yep. I think that that's important to do. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do a 2-round single quarterback PPR league where we redraft the first round, every other pick. So, but when you pick at pick 1, just say, for example, and then you pick again at 3, that's not the same team. We're 12 separate managers.
Come on, come on.
You're not building a team. You understand what I'm saying?
I want a super team, bro. Come on.
You're still going to do it. And by the way, we are going to do our half season league again, which you were in last year. So This is a little bit of a warm up for that. But do you understand the rules? It's not super flex. Every manager. So when you pick on the turn, 12 and 13 is the same team.
That's fair then. Okay. That's fair. Okay. So I get it. We'll play the fun game. I was hoping I get to make a super team or something, but.
No, so I just don't want you to build, you know, okay, play by the rules here. All right. So it's really just a reassessment of our top 24 rankings, which we're going to do right now. I'm just doing out one more retweet here, and then I'm going to give this podcast my full focus. All right. And by the way, if anyone is in the comments and you make a bad pick, Cody makes a bad pick, make sure you call him out here. All right.
Call me. I'm here. I'm not taking Romeo Doubs in the first round or second round. So if you got a problem with that, come correct.
So I'll take the first pick here. It's a little bit chalk here, but I think if we were redrafting in a PPR league 1-1, there's a couple ways you can go. But if you just want to lock in those points, Cody, this is the year of the wide receiver. I'm going to take Cooper Kupp at the first overall pick. He probably should have been. He wasn't even being discussed as the first overall pick. In late redraft season. In fact, he was falling behind a couple other wide receivers, but 1.1, Cooper Kupp, lock it in. Any issues there? Would you have taken him at 1-1, or would you queued up who you're going to take in this next pick here?
Yeah, I was never of the... I mean, when I saw the graphic come out, I was like, he's probably going to do it. He probably will. I don't have a problem with it because you know what's there. You know the consistency. You know where the target share is going to be in this offense. A lot of people, including me, had higher hopes for Allen Robinson, but it looks like it's like just the entirety. It's called the Cooper Kupp Show in Los Angeles, which is no surprise. I don't have a problem with it at all because you have the dependability and you have the ceiling. And I think that's exactly what Cooper Kupp brings. But I would have went this other direction. And you can see him already. I've took him at the 103 and the 104 in the FFWC. I'm going Stephon Diggs at the 102.
Whoa!
Tailored to Josh Allen, I think he finishes the season as the wide receiver 1. We have him wide receiver 2 rest of season right next to Cooper Kupp. I think these guys are interchangeable. I think, you know, you're looking at the East Coast, Cooper Kupp, not like really East Coast Cooper Kupp, but more so he's got Gabe Davis there. This offense is electric. They're going to stay electric, and Diggs is the focal point of it. So I'm going to continue to roll with Stephon Diggs, who I think is the best route runner in the NFL.
All right. So in principle, you don't mind not taking a running back in the first pick. So we're in agreement there. Just it's what's your flavor. And I think that you're right that Stephon Diggs has that nuclear upside. A couple of years ago, he won you the championship in the semifinal. I mean, but I just think the reason I went with Cooper Kupp is we saw a floor game last week, and a floor game was still 18 points, where you could see a situation where a floor game might be a little bit lower for Stephon Diggs, but over the course of a season, you're not worried about that. Great pick there. Okay. I think at the third pick, if we're redrafting this league, I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor. There's definitely better options, again, still at the wide receiver, but running backs, as you're going to see, it's been ugly so far for the running back position, but if you can lock in a workhorse running back, I liked a little bit what I saw from the Colts last week. He had a good week one. I admit the floor is lower than some of the other wide receivers that might go in this range, but I'm still a workhorse running back type of fantasy player. So I'll take Jonathan Taylor at 1.3.
I've no problem with that at all. I like Jonathan Taylor. I think the two receivers we talked about, there's another one you can add to that list, but I think outside of those three guys, Taylor and McCaffrey, I think it's pretty clear who these top end guys are. And if the article didn't come out, what was it, a couple weeks before the season started, where Indianapolis was like, he's not going to get near the workload that he did last year. We want to feature Nyheim Hines and all this BS that hasn't really come to fruition. I think you would have seen a lot more Jonathan Taylor at the 101 than, I mean, we did see a lot of it, but then towards the end, it was a lot of receivers, and then even McCaffrey got back up in there. But I love Jonathan Taylor, obviously, in general.
Yep. Okay, so we have Cooper Kupp at the 101. We had Stephon Diggs. You took him at the second pick. I took JT. Who's going to be – you're on the clock at pick four.
All right, so this guy I had as overall player number five coming in. I had two guys ahead of him that I'm jumping, including my number one guy right now. And that is, do I really want to do it?
Do it. Get crazy. Money's on the line.
Saquon Barkley at the 104. So
I almost took him at pick two.
The reason that I wouldn't have taken him at two is because coming into the season, you still can't push away the fact, the truth of what Taylor did. And I feel like we're playing a little hindsight here in this draft. So it's like in hindsight, you know Taylor's healthy. You know the workload Taylor should be getting. But in hindsight, also, you still had to worry about that injury with Barkley. So that I think that is what would have negated me from going Barkley over Taylor. Though, rest of season, I think Barkley is ahead of Taylor, as he should be. But I think the tough one for me was Justin Jefferson, right? He's had a bad couple of weeks. He started out very hot. I think he's going to continue to be hot. But Barkley has shown he's back. He's healthy. He's the guy. He's got the speed, he's got the elusiveness, he's got the electricity that he had a couple seasons ago, and I think you can trust that from here. So he jumps over Justin Jefferson for me in this redraft right here, and I'm taking Saquon Barkley at the 104.
I think that's perfectly reasonable. And Barkley's injury last year, I mean, he was showing that he was going to be back from the devastating injury, but the fluke injury last year, that's not something you could really predict. Yeah. I'm a little worried about the Giants offense at all. I guess you saw it was kind of faltering last week on Monday Night Football, but it didn't matter because Barkley has that game-breaking speed. Even in a bad game, Barkley was able to get his, I guess.
I guess the reason I'm not worried is because, and I think this is a lot of the reason you look over the last five, six seasons, it's like, well, McCaffrey, what did McCaffrey do? McCaffrey was the top guy for a couple seasons in a row while that team sucked. And then everyone's like looking at Kamara, and that team wasn't great while Kamara was doing good. And Swift has been a darling, and Detroit hasn't been great. It's like, it doesn't really matter as long as there's some competency as far as like play calling, which I think there is. I don't know. After watching that game on Monday night, I'm kind of a fan of Brian Daboll now more so than I ever was. But I think Saquon he's 25 years old. He's got the athleticism. It's back in his body. Like there's no more worries about injury. He looks 6 yards per carry through the first three games, like ridiculous. Plus the 13 receptions and almost 100 yards. Like he's pretty clearly, I think he looks like the best running back in football right now. And it's exciting.
Yeah. Which is what we thought he would be his rookie season. So, Yeah, that makes a lot of sense there. So I'm up at the fifth pick, Justin Jefferson, obvious pick here. Had his game log been, you know, flipped over, have he had bad game, great game, he might even go, you know, in the top three here. So I'm not going to overthink it. We all know Justin Jefferson's a stud. I think he's a reasonable top five pick. And I mean, look at just the top five is already a little bit different. Kupp at one, Diggs at two, JT at three is a fall. Barkley makes it into the top five, which a lot of credible analysts thought he should be anyway, and Justin Jefferson falls to five for the rest of season. I think this would more or less be a consensus. Maybe Diggs is a little bit sneaky to be in there, but I think that's a good pick. By the way, and I'll do a whole introduction for you, but Cody Carpentier, player profiler, he's here with us. We're doing a mock draft rest of season starting in week four. Cody, now you said you have your own rest of season rankings that you're working off of. Do you guys publish those on Player Profiler, or is that just to kind of power some other content like trading stuff and other written articles?
So we have the rest of season rankings at playerprofiler.com. You can go over there right now. We got $50 off the rest of the month for the all-in package. That includes the rest of season rankings, dynasty rankings, and the DFS Dominator. But it's a culmination, right? Dario builds these rankings, and then we all have conversations. Me, Matt, Dario have conversations about some of these guys, and that's how they get moved, and that's how we build this thing. So, yeah, they're not my personal rankings by any means, but they're just a culmination of us three guys that have, you know,
fair
thoughts on different guys.
Love it, man. All right, let's go here. So you're up on pick six.
This for me is where it starts to get, you know, a little tough, because there's a couple guys here that I think deserve to go. I think mainly you can look at Christian McCaffrey. A lot of people maybe are disappointed in what he's done so far, but like I just said, given the competency of this offense in comparison to like what the Giants have done with Saquon, understanding like, hey, we focus on this guy, we can win games. Carolina really hasn't, like, I guess, focused on Christian McCaffrey. He's been a little dinged up week in and week out on these injury reports, and then they're like BS injury reports. I'm not going to go McCaffrey here.
Ooh, I was putting it in there. All right.
He's going to fall one more spot at least. I don't know if you're going to take
at least.
He's going to fall one more spot at least, because I'm going to take this receiver that this is high. This feels really high for this guy. You know, he was an end of one. I think he was a mid second round pick, if I remember right, during the latter half. Brand new team in 2022. And the big question we had was, what's the target share going to look like? Are they going to be able to coexist in the same offense together? And this is the toughest guy in the NFL to cover right now. He's got top 10 target share. Third and deep targets in the NFL right now. Tyreek Hill, I'm taking him right here at the 106. It's just the electricity that he brings, the boom bust, the 42-point game in week two. Yes, he scored five last week against Buffalo, but 42 points, you can't make these things up. This is a guy that can completely flip the script any week, any given. They're just going to continue to give him the ball, so that's all I'm really worried about. And he's one of the toughest guys to game plan against as an opposing defensive coordinator. So I'm going Tyreek Hill right here at the 106.
Any concerns about Tua maybe not playing this week if he's with Teddy Bridgewater? Is that just a short-term thing that you're never going to be too concerned about?
Yeah, I've never been a big Tua fan. I don't think, you know, I don't think long-term he's the guy per se. I think that this offense could take another step up if they went after somebody with elite ball skills, elite downfield ability. I think he's good enough. I think he fits right in that Kirk Cousins tier where he's going to win enough games, but I don't think he's ever going to win the game, right? Teddy Bridgewater, with a full week of practice, Teddy Bridgewater is above average. It's probably going to limit the upside that both of these guys in Waddle and Hill have. But I think long-term, rest of season, I'm not worried about Tua's injury, and I think it's going to continue to be what it was the last few weeks.
All right. No, that's fair. And Tyreek Hill, I mean, he can win you the week single-handedly. So it's hard to argue there. The only concern I would have as well would be that, you know, a note came out that Tyreek and Waddle are co-number ones, but we all know that's not the truth. We all know that it's Tyreek Hill, and then the target tree is kind of narrow anyway. There's not really a tight end that they feed targets to, and
The thing is with those guys too, is like kind of what I was thinking when we came into the season, everyone was like, well, these guys can't coexist and be top, you know, top 12 guys. Well, right now they're number four and number five. Right?
Exactly.
There's one big kind of game outlier there. But they play Cincinnati tomorrow night, and I think that's going to be a fantastic game. And you look at what Waddle, you could make an argument for Waddle to go ahead of Tyreek if you really wanted to, just as far as target share and opportunity goes. But I don't know. It's just, they're close. Don't get me wrong. But I think the pure upside that Tyreek brings and him being able to come over from the jump and get molded into this offense is really what's pushing him up for me ahead of a couple of these other wide receivers.
All right, quick read from our friends at BroThrow. Have you ever bet on sports with your buddies? BroThrow is the only sports betting platform that lets you bet directly with friends. And BroThrow doesn't take a cut of every bet. No fees, no juice, no middleman. BroThrow is not a sports book, Cody. You bet on sports directly against other users with no juice or vig, which saves you a ton of money over time. Betting $11 to win 10 stinks. With BroThrow, you bet 10 to win 10. BroThrow offers hassle-free sign-up process that lets you get into the action in seconds. You don't have to deposit money on BroThrow either. You just instead you pay other bettors directly. Sounds like peer-to-peer stuff. It's pretty cool. Throw out your first bet on BroThrow.com/Roto and use code Roto. BroThrow is a free sign-up. Cut out the middleman and start betting on BroThrow. That's BroThrow.com/Roto, R-O-T-O. I think that's the future of sports betting, man. Peer-to-peer. Like, why should I have to pay a VIG to a book when, and again, we love the sports book. They offer all these different things. But if I think Tyreek Hill, if let's say that his under-over is, like 80 yards in a given week. And I say, hey, I don't think Tyreek Hill is going to go under 50 yards. And you'll say, hey, I'll take that bet. And then we just bet $10 on it. It's like, you know, we do that all the time when we're on podcasts and stuff. Oh, I bet you this player versus that player. But if you could throw it out into the universe, I think peer-to-peer is the future of sports betting. All right.
I hope you're right. I think that's the best way to go at it.
All right. Number seven, I'm not going to let Ja'Marr Chase fall any longer. It's not that I don't love Christian McCaffrey. Actually, I don't love Christian McCaffrey. It's just funny that his workload last week was 25 carries and like two targets. You want it the exact opposite way. You want like eight carries and 12 targets. It's looming towards a possible disaster. I mean, every running back has injury risk, but if I was drafting right now, I'm not taking him at pick seven, even though I'm sure there would be a lot of disagreement there. I'm not going to let Ja'Marr Chase. It feels like the Cincinnati Bengals offense is about to go nuclear. They paid for that offensive line, Cody, but there's been leaky. As the season goes on, offensive lines tend to gel, and that's where those downfield Ja'Marr Chase patterns will really start to percolate. I'm going Ja'Marr Chase at pick seven.
28% target share, most targets in the NFL right now. There's not really an argument there. 28% versus T. Higgins, who has 15%, the beta alpha of the NFL. A lot of people want to call him the alpha. I don't think he's the alpha. It's Ja'Marr Chase. You just got him right here at the 107. And again, that was the one guy that I was like, I should really take him over Hill. But I think it's what Hill's done in this offense from the jump. His teammate, I have more dependability in Waddle opening up every part of the field for Hill than I do of Higgins opening up every part of the field for Chase, because it seems like Chase in the games he gets locked up, it's because he's not getting any help on the other side of the field. So
fair enough. All right. You're up at the pick 108 in our single quarterback PPR mock draft.
You're making it tough on me, man. You're making it tough because this guy just keeps falling. And I was like, I feel like I have to take him, but again, the competency of the Carolina Panthers offense, they haven't used DJ Moore. LaVisca Chenault, he might now be the receiving leader or shortly behind Robbie Anderson, I think if I'm corrected. But as far as usage of Christian McCaffrey, his opportunity share is top five and the fantasy points just aren't there right now. I'm pushing Christian McCaffrey down the board even more. And with the 108, we're going with a guy. He was going at the end of the second, sometimes the early third on FFWC. I'm going AJ Brown. AJ Brown because I love Jalen Hurts, and this is only a top 24 draft, but I have Jalen Hurts in way too many leagues. So it's like one of those things, like I had Lance in a few leagues, and when he got hurt, I was like, oh bro, oh my gosh, this is gonna burn a couple teams. It's like if Hurts got hurt, I'd probably just like my computer
retire
the computer just go out the window, and I'd just be like, all right, I'm going on vacation for the rest of the season.
They would need to bring the straight jacket police into your home. And Jalen Hurts is obviously I want to talk about this AJ Brown pick, but Jalen Hurts, it just seemed kind of Captain Obvious in the preseason. Like, that's the quarterback that you want to get. People try to push it to the seventh round. You needed to take him in the sixth round to secure him in single quarterback leagues. It was so obvious that if he took even a small step forward in passing, that he was going to be one of the best values in all fantasy football. Obviously, Lamar so far is the best value in the quarterback position. But yeah, AJ Brown, man, it just shows what a criminal misuse the Titans, how the Titans used him, that they're just, you know, loading him up here. I love this pick right here. And yeah, if you got him in the second round, remember AJ Brown was considered a reach in the second round. It was like, I guess I'll take him. Oh, pick eight. You got to love it.
I have one team. It's the Dez Bryant Best Ball Tournament, and I took Jefferson at 2. I took Pittman at the 211, and then I got AJ Brown at the 302. And that is by far my favorite team so far this offseason. And it's getting AJ Brown at the 302. It's just
amazing.
He should have never been going that low. There was any 33% target share, number 3 in the NFL right now, 4th in air yard share. And then you saw that's even with the Devonta Smith game from last week where he went over 150. It's like he's just going to continue to eat. And I guess the culmination of the defining moment, I think, for me last week, even in that big game with Smith, it's like they ran the slant on the goal line, like maybe they're in the 4-yard line, and Hurts hit him on the outside shoulder going in on a slant. I don't know if you remember this play or not.
Of course. So
outside slant. And he just catches it, and he just bodies this corner, just takes him right into the end zone. It's like this guy had no chance. Where Hurts put the ball first off, and then Brown's just innate ability he's a dog, right?
Yep.
And
it's like, you know, when you saw that play, it just looked like a father playing with like an 11-year-old.
Yes.
Trying and just like a little too hard, right? That's what I'm saying. Like he looks so much better than everyone else out there. It looks like he's playing with children. So yes, I did see that play. That was a red zone play for sure. And also, I think it also might mean that you want a piece of this Philly offense in any way possible. In some of my deeper leagues, I've just been adding Quez Watkins for a dollar just in case either of these guys miss time. Oh, good. I see the victory. Hands in the air like you just don't care there. Because if Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, they both have had health concerns a little bit. You know, A.J. Brown obviously has missed time. Devontae Smith is a little bit, you know, slight of frame. So you saw what the Quez nuclear upside looks like. And again, I'm just adding guys like that to the back of my bench if I'm not taking running backs.
Absolutely. Love it.
Yep. All right. I'm not going to let CMC fall past 9. I mean, you don't really need a long explanation, but at this point in the draft, it makes sense. I'm sure he would. In the underdog best balls, have you done any of the resurrection stuff yet? Where is CMC going?
No resurrections for me yet.
Yeah, I haven't jumped in yet either. I'm curious to see if – I bet you he is going to fall to about this spot. I mean, you know, maybe in the beginning, but all these players that went ahead of him in our mock draft so far, I would take ahead of CMC, but I'm not going to let him fall past this point. We don't need to belabor unless you have anything specific. I mean, this could be the best pick of the draft, or it could just be a complete dud in 3 weeks. So CMC at pick 9.
Our current underdog ADP has him at 1.7. So, yeah, he's pretty much the consensus 1 or 2.
Fair enough. You're up at the 110.
All right, 110. I think running back for me is out of the question right now. I'm going to go back to receiver.
Pick is in. You have not lost connection, folks.
I've not lost connection. It's tough because we kind of hit that threshold right there. The threshold was like, when are we going to let McCaffrey fall to? What are we going to let him fall to? And then once he's gone, it kind of opens up a door where you can go a lot of directions right now, given what we've seen, right? I think Devontae Adams is in question.
There's a lot of other positions are in question here.
I think you can consider Adams, Waddle. I think you could start looking at tight end, really.
And Cody Carpentier, I think that there is a case to look at a quarterback. I mean, I wouldn't do it here, but if somebody did it in single QB, there is a quarterback that's breaking the slate right now. And again, I agree with you. that it is not optimal to go quarterback this early. But if somebody did it, I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. I'm not going to do it. But it's how do you tell someone that they're wrong for going that way? We can discuss that. Make your pick, and then we can get into it.
All right. I feel you, though, because I should have expected that, given that you took Trevor Lawrence.
Too soon. Meanwhile, it was the right pick.
It was. Trevor Lawrence was damn good.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence was damn good.
Not above Javonte, where I took him in our rookie draft a couple of years ago. But, again, I'm just saying, if there is a quarterback that's slate-breaking, and, you know, like you just said right here, there's a lot of ways you can go. And no matter who you pick, you can get an equivalent positional player in the next round too, if you're picking at pick 10. So why not take the guy that's actually good? I have teams that suck, but they have Lamar Jackson on them, and I'm winning.
Can't argue with it. It's the Lamar factor, and we're seeing it clear as day right now. So
yep. All right. You're up at pick 10.
I'm not going to go receiver here. I'm going Mark Andrews because the tight end position is so broken again. 21.5 points per game. Kelsey, 18.5 points per game. The tight end 3 is Tyler freaking Conklin, who's on available. I think he's only owned in 11% of leagues on Sleeper or something like that going into waivers this week. And he's the tight end 3. So I think you just have to take the leverage there at tight end and take Mark Andrews here at the 110.
For the same reason, you know, he's breaking fantasy in a sense too, that, you know, when I took him in one draft in the second round, I was so pissed off. I was like, oh, what a donkey pick. Now, meanwhile, it was a high stakes too. It was the NFFC. I took him in the second round. I was like, just because all the receivers I like dried up at that point, I wasn't on AJ Brown. I think he might have even gone. But meanwhile, I'm so happy I did it. I'm in first place. I'm in 70th overall in the NFFC RotoWire Online Championship. Oh. I mean, it's 3 weeks, and I'll probably fall to 170 next week. You know how these things go. It's like a DFS contest. But, it's a roller coaster and a long way to go. No, I like Mark Andrews' pick. I contemplated him at 9. I think that's a rock solid pick. Hey, just for everyone that you mentioned Tyler Conklin, how much fat, if you're in this tight end hell, which most of us are in, what percent of fab? Say you have a good team. It's just every week you pick the wrong tight end. How much fab would you go on Conklin? And the biggest pushback I get on Conklin is Zach Wilson's coming back. But I thought there was a lot of talk of how Zach Wilson and Conklin were connecting in the preseason. So both of those concepts, I'm curious of you to weigh in on.
To be honest with you, it's one of those guys that if you're in the situation where you are dealing with I love Kmet. I've missed on Kmet this year openly. I think he's still got an opportunity, but as far as like my expectation, it's completely off the rails. Albert Okwuegbunam, another guy that's putting up zeros. If you're sitting here plugging these guys in, the Gesicki's, I was just talking to my cousin about his team. We've been dealing with this Gesicki thing for a couple of years now, and it's like, hey, dude, in your league, you got to put up 25% to 30% in on Tyler Conklin. You just have to. The dependability and targets right now for Tyler Conklin. If it's really that bad, if that's like your one hole specifically, is that tight end position, you just can't reel it in. You can't reel it in. You have to chase the targets. You have to chase the targets with Tyler.
So what percent? 20?
It depends on your league and how your team is built, right? If your team is built and you have depth at running back and you have depth at receiver and you're like, wow, I don't really need, I would go up to like the 30% mark with Tyler Conklin. It's a lot on a tight end. It's a lot on a tight end. But if you need it and that's the only thing that you have left, you're going up to 30% max, I would say, in that area. You also need to know your league mates. In some leagues, he's a guy you could probably spend 8 to 10% on. But I think in the leagues where you're dealing with this headache at the tight end position, I think he can cure it like an ibuprofen or 6. And I think you can throw up to 25 to 30% on him and confidently just say, all right, I got my guy. I'm plugging him in. And you just kind of ride with it.
I agree with that philosophy 100%. Don't be afraid to overpay to fix a problem. And I think that's a dynasty solution too. I'm willing to overpay in my dynasty leagues to fix a problem that I have. Everyone wants to win the trade. I think the same goes for the waiver wire here. All right, pick 11. I'm on the board here. And this one might be the one that gets a little bit of squinty eyes from some people. They're going to be like, what's he doing here? But sometimes we just have to adjust to what's going on. Nick Chubb is the RB2 in the fantasy football season. Running backs are a disaster this year. Nick Chubb is not a disaster. You got him in the third round. He almost fell to like the fourth round in a couple of high stakes drafts. I couldn't believe it. But for the most part, he was a third round running back. It's only going to get better when Deshaun Watson comes back, not worse. This is unbelievable. No one expected this from Nick Chubb. Even without the pass catching, he's had the upside. I know there's been some touchdown stuff that could regress, but maybe not. At the end of the first round, I just want Nick Chubb on my team, and I feel like at least now I have one of the running back spots I don't have to worry about.
I can't argue with it, right? Nick Chubb is I can't say this now because Ray G tweeted, and this first thing came to my head, I was about to say, Nick Chubb's the best pure runner in football. And Ray G tweeted out, he's like, get rid of the word pure. It was just like, when you're talking about Nick Chubb, get rid of the word pure. He's the best running back in football right now. He's the hardest runner in football. He's doing all of it. And like you just said, top five guy, not really an argument. Like him and Barkley look like the best this year. Taylor obviously is great, but him and Barkley just look like the best running backs right now, pure. Right. So no argument for me.
All right. Make the last pick. And then we're going to do a quick break. And then we will come back. You have two picks. You're on the turn now. You're team 12. You see everything that's off the board. You're looking at this. You're picking on the hook. What do you got, Cody Carpentier of Player Profiler?
All right. So with the turn pick, I'm going to go with what I know. Number 12 is going to be Travis Kelce. Again, you're leveraging that tight end position because there's only two guys right now that you can depend on. You can't depend on Waller. You can't depend on Pitts. I think both guys will resurrect the rest of the season. But again, Kelce, he's had a couple opportunities. He should be closer to Andrews as far as the points per game basis right now. He should be up in that 20-point range. He's had a couple drops, but a couple situations. So I'm going to go Kelce here at the 112 to take care of that tight end position for this team, number 12. And then we're going to go wide receiver.
No. Hold there. You're on there. Okay. We're going to hold that until after the break.
All right, Cody,
I sent you those reads. Can you do we got one more message from Vivid Seats Copy. Could you do that so I could fix a problem in my office here? It'll take a second. All right. So now word from Vivid Seats. It's read by Cody Carpentier. He's helping me out.
Hey, football fans, get your jerseys on and your tailgate snacks ready. That's right. The NFL season is back, and so is your chance to score tickets with Vivid Seats. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit vividseats.com to see your team schedule, compare tickets, and secure your spot in the stands. As the only ticketing company with a reward program, Vivid Seats is winning app for NFL fans like you. Earn credit when you buy 10 tickets, then cash it in to catch more games all season long. With tickets from Vivid Seats, you'll get from watching the game and being a part of it. Go to vividseats.com or find us in the App Store to browse unbeatable seats. We'll see you at the stadium. And I'm probably going to use Vivid Seats this week as well. I'm looking at going to the NC State Clemson game. Very exciting. And so now after reading this, I think I might have to use Vivid Seats.
All right. Well, hit the like button if you liked Cody's read. I thought that was might have been better than mine. You might have a new job as a voiceover man. You know, you do have that nice bassy voice, real man voice, not a beta voice, an alpha voice. All right. I'm here with Cody Carpentier. We're doing a redraft of the first two rounds. We're going to pick up the pace a little bit in order to get through the second round here. You could see scrolling on the bottom the order we've picked, but I'll just review it for everyone that's listening on the audio podcast. Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, 1-2, JT Barkley, 3-4, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, the next two picks. 7 was Jamar Chase, 8, AJ Brown. I took Christian McCaffrey at 9. Mark Andrews went at 10, Nick Chubb 11, and Travis Kelce 12. What a different first round than we had in just 4 weeks ago. But I think this is right on point. I don't think you'll get many arguments. If you have any arguments with this first round, feel free to put it in the chat or just yell at us on social media. At Carpentier NFL or at Alan Sislowski. All right, we're going to start with round two. You were on the clock, and as the team that picked 12th, you took Travis Kelce. Who are you taking at pick 13?
So a lot of thought that you could go right back to the AFC West with this one, and I don't know if I really want to do that. I think I'm going to go with the teammate of another guy that I took in the first round on a different team. Obviously, this is not one super team. This is 12 different teams. I get it. We're going Jalen Waddle here at pick 201. Jalen Waddle, the pure target share. Jalen Waddle, the pure animal. Again, they're coexisting together in this offense. I guess Tua is the big swing here, right? Both these guys are connecting well with Tua. Both these guys are opening them up across the field. 6th in target share. right now in the NFL, seventh in air yard share for Jalen Waddle. And he looks like one of those guys. Dwayne McFarland was just on a show with the Podfather last week. I think you're going to be on the Mighty Mansion next week, correct? And on that Mighty Mansion show with Dwayne McFarland, he's like, we need to do a show next year because I think we get too locked in over the summer to, oh, ADP, all this bullshit. And then you come around and it's like, just take the good players. And what do we know about Jalen Waddle? He's a good player. What he did last season, setting the record for most receptions from a rookie. Just take the good players. Know what you know and know what you don't. And what do you know? Jalen Waddle's a good player. Take him here at the 201 and get those targets.
I would have taken him if you didn't, just so you know. So you're we're in sync here.
That's a snipe. That's a snipe right there.
That's a true snipe, right? That's a true snipe because you're reaching up above what perceived ADP was. And listen to this thought here. It's kind of a half-baked thought, but ADP poisons your mind. All right? That's really what you were saying here. And I think that if we go back to our rankings that we made in February or March for that year, those are going to be our more sober rankings. Now, obviously, things are going to change with trades and just camp news. But for the most part, Jalen Waddle was going on the late second round in early drafts. He was going on the 2-3 turn. The Tyreek Hill trade happened. He moved to the third round, and then slowly he creeped down. But yet nothing changed for him. In fact, you could argue that Tyreek Hill, as you just made the great argument, actually helps Jalen Waddle. It makes it so they can't ever really double him. ADP poisons your mind is the thought, and I'll have to really flesh that out and think it through because I don't know how you avoid it. We're in the mix of all of people doing podcasts and articles, and whether you think so or not, Cody, it does influence your thinking.
And the low-key thing you take away from here is that you see everyone say, oh, it's ADP. You got to stick with the ADP. And then you see articles come out like, you should never reach more than 10 picks of ADP. Okay, well, if you never do that, the ADP is never going to change. It's only going to change, ever so slightly. And if you don't agree with someone and you think that A.J. Brown should go at the 201 and not the 302, and you know he's not going to come back to you, you have to break through that threshold in your mind and say, I'm taking him because he deserves to go here. He will. Like, if you have that much conviction in a guy, he's going to pay off at this price. You just have to do it. And we have to kind of break through that barrier and say, I don't care what everybody else thinks. This is what I think. And that's how you should be playing fantasy football in general. So when you do take a guy three rounds ahead, they're like, well, that was a reach. And it's like, all right, call me in a month and we'll talk.
Isn't that like a microcosm for life? We kind of go with the wisdom of crowds. We listen to what people say, even though we have these thoughts that might be in total, contradictory to what everything is everyone's saying, what media is saying. So is ADP, so is life. It could go wrong on you. Everyone who was reaching into the second round for DJ Moore, that went wrong. Okay, but at least you had a conviction on it. If someone took Amon-Ra St. Brown, which I'm going to take at this next pick here.
That was the literally. I was like, I can keep pushing it. I can keep pushing it.
No.
Last four picks, I was like, I can keep pushing it.
No. Not with me. You can't. I would have taken him as high as pick 11, but I really wanted. I thought Nick Chubb represents the last running back that I feel good about rest of the season. So, sorry, not sorry. Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm taking him at pick 14 here. So that's the 2.2. I think that you could, if someone took him at pick 11 ahead of Andrews, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I do like Andrews better given the positional scarcity, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, in a dynasty rankings, he's going to be what, your wide receiver 10 to 14. Where does player profiler have him for dynasty?
I got the seasonal up right now. He should be climbing to the top 10. Dynasty rankings get updated tomorrow on a weekly basis. So it'll be Thursday. So he's 13 right now. I think he's going to go up a little bit more, but he's right there side by side with Waddle. So I think that's a good spot for him. But when I said I was picking Andrews at 10, this is the guy I said. Remember, if we went into that pick, I said, I'm looking at receiver. And I'm like, I pushed him down. Yeah. If you look at, this is my favorite stat. I found this last week before Amon-Ra played the Vikings, was Detroit has scored 29 plus points in 6 of their last 8 games. Now it's 6 of the last 9 because they didn't score this week. Detroit was 0-10-1 entering week 13 of the 2021 season. They were 4-4 coming into this last week. In week 13 of last season, when that started, that was when they played against Minnesota. They played Minnesota this past week. And you look at Amon-Ra's stats over that period, it's ridiculous. That was his first game over 80% snap share. 12, 12, 11, 11, 11, 10, 12, 12 as far as targets go. And he was a top 10 wide receiver every week but one, and he scored a touchdown every week but one. He's been on an unreal tear and been the feature of this offense. And think about this. Everyone wants to say, well, Jameson's going to come back. All right, well, Swift is going to be RB1. No, it's the one constant thing. Hockenson hasn't hit because of Amon-Ra. Jameson's going to come back and open up the field, and you're only going to get more and more Amon-Ra. I think I can't remember who made the comparison, but being this year's Cooper Kupp, I think, is a hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, I would take it a little further. Yes, he's certainly this year's Cooper Kupp, but isn't there a lot of similarities in career trajectory between him and Antonio Brown? Late round pick, you know, year two. I don't even think Antonio Brown hit in year two. I think it was more like year three. He showed some signs. You know, nobody thought Antonio Brown was going to be like the 1-1 as a wide receiver in a running back heavy fantasy world. So I'm just saying he's not there yet. He's got a ways to go. But it seems like it's, you know, there's more of a just a narrative comparison between those guys. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right, here we go. Actually, let's leave. I'm going to put a little break right here, not for the viewing audience, but for the podcast audience. Just want you to stick with us through the break. We'll be right back with Cody's On the Clock at Pick 15.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back with Cody Carpentier, a player profiler. I'm Alan Zaslowski. You follow me at Alan Zaslowski. You follow Cody at Carpentier NFL. And we are doing a two-round mock draft, rest of season mock draft, starting in week four. So maybe these picks will look silly in 2 weeks. But Cody, you are on the clock at pick 15. We're going to pick up the pace for the next two picks each, but I doubt we'll actually pick it up. If we don't get to the end, we don't get to the end. Who are you taking?
For those that have been following along, to me, I don't know if you were as big a fan of this guy or not. I'm going to hear your opinion right after I say his name. It seems like he might be quietly being ignored. I almost forgot about him on this list. Wide receiver 6 on a points per game basis this year, but he's missed one game, and that's why I think he's disappearing from a lot of these top end of these lists. Wide receiver 6 at the wide receiver position, top end, Michael Pittman. This is about where he ended up going towards the end there. He was going anywhere around 2. I saw him as high as 112. I saw him as low as 302. I love Michael Pittman. I think he's going to continue in this offense to eat the rest of the season. 25% target share through those two games he's played. 95% snap share. I love Michael Pittman, and I think I'm going to continue to hammer Michael Pittman. I'm going to pair him here with my Mark Andrews team.
You are it's so funny because he's out for one game. People forget about him. Had he had those two games and, say, a similar third game, we'd be talking about him in the first round, right?
Yeah.
So fantasy players, we think, especially dynasty players, we think we have such a long view. We don't. It's all recency bias. You just stole Michael Pittman there. I mean, I like all the picks that have gone before him, but yeah, Michael Pittman at pick 15. He was going a little bit later than this. You know, he was going like late round two. I know in some of the high stakes drafts, he was getting pushed. But in your typical home league drafts, he was falling even into the middle of round three. So good pick, yeah. Cody. I'm not gonna crap on you for that one. All right, I'm on the clock here. Now, this one, you know, I'm just going to – I know you don't take quarterback this early, but when we have the data that we have right now, Lamar Jackson is putting up 50s. I mean, 48 points. You can have a bad team in fantasy football, and I think that we're going to – there's going to be offseason discussion if these style of quarterbacks should go at the end of round two. This could be a little bit early, but we're talking the current season we're in. We don't have to project anything out. We don't love the Ravens running backs. We think Lamar is going to continue to eat, or it can only go up from here with the rushing. And wide receiver wise, it's like, you know, he's got two or three targets he likes. That's it. And it's Mark Andrews. He's got, Devin Duvernay has been catching touchdowns. And of course, Rashad Bateman has yet to have that big explosive game. So, might be a reach, but when I have Lamar Jackson and my opponent is facing off with Derek Carr, they're going to be in fear. Let's go Lamar Jackson at pick 16.
Fun. He's in the contract year. He's doing exactly what he should be doing to get this contract. They're going to have to give it to him because he's a complete game changer. He's running everything. I know we're talking fantasy, but as far as just a pure quarterback right now, he's making himself almost unguardable, unplayable. You know, he's special, right? 5 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. Like you said, 40s. And like the floor is QB8. So
QB8. You think that's his floor? I think his floor is player overall 8.
No. I'm saying like in a weekly, but like he scored 21 against the Jets in week one. That was like, he was exerting like no energy against the Jets.
Oh, right. I got you. You're saying so far, like in a bad game.
Yeah.
He's still, right. Okay. Yeah.
Bad game. He's still top end guy. Right.
And you know what? You can't, like, I understand if anyone said to me, oh, you're an idiot, you could still get, you know, QB5 two rounds later. You're right. But I just think that. Yeah. I don't want to take the chance. I think that there's other players I'll like in round three, in round four, and I'll still be happy that I have Lamar. I'm doing a little bit of roster construction strategery here. So, all right, you're up. Pick 17.
I got no problem with that at all. So you open up the quarterback door. It's like, oh, I could go back to quarterback. Do I want to do it?
Stick to your board, man. And I'll suck up all the game changers. It's cool.
All right. Well, see this next pick here, if you look at the 108 on the board, it was AJ Brown.
Yep. Oh, nice.
And pairing him with his quarterback might be fun. You opened up the door with Lamar Jackson, and you talk about game changers at the quarterback position. This guy. 83% completion percentage against the Vikings, 63% this last week. That was the big question we asked for Jalen Hurts. 3 touchdowns, 34, 27, QB4, QB3, QB2, each of the first three weeks of the season. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are a real Super Bowl contender with a top 10 offensive line, a top 10 defense, a top 2 quarterback from a fantasy perspective. I'm going to take him right here. Yeah. This is my favorite stack in season. And I think if you're really looking at it from a game changer standpoint, there's two game changers right now, and it's Lamar and it's Hurts. Allen's great. Herbert's great. But I think these are the two game changers. And I think if I'm in a draft against somebody and Lamar goes right there, yes, is it a little like, okay, shit, I got to jump on board? Maybe. But if I already have AJ Brown and I know that stack is there and I'm trusting my process, I'm going Jalen Hurts right here at the 205.
I think in a lot of these drafts that happen, like, you know, when you see these underdog drafts and you're really just going for super upside, and if that QB door gets open, like you phrased it, I love that, you're going to see everyone just say, hey, you know what? This is the market. I'm going to adjust to the market. I'm not going to stick true to my weight on QB board, because you waited on QB in your season-long league. You have Russell Wilson. You're like, yes, I'm set. I got Russell Wilson in round 12. Uh-oh. I need Daniel Jones off the waiver wire. Uh-oh. I'm getting so many bench Russell Wilson for this guy questions this week, Cody.
Yep.
Don't mess around. The other players will fall. You need to adjust to the market. Jalen Hurts.
I literally, so speaking of Russell Wilson, in the FFWC, I had Russell Wilson. I go, oh, I'm going to feel good about Russell Wilson. Last week, going into the week, I picked up Marcus Mariota. I started Marcus Mariota over him. I think he scored 12 more points. And I like had to make that decision. I was like talking about it in our meeting. And I go, I feel like an idiot. I'm playing Mariota this week over Wilson, but I feel like it's the right move. And it was. And I was like, this is ridiculous. The fact that, I mean, the whole Russell thing, you can talk about that, but it's just crazy. But yeah, yeah, Jalen Hurts here. I love him. He's got the number 7 wide receiver, number 6 tight end. He's got a wide receiver 18, Devonta Smith. And the running backs really haven't pushed much into the ground. So he's going to keep getting the running game. Miles Sanders is RB 23. So I'm not really worried about like this big run game takeover. I think he's just going to – Miles Sanders is just going to keep being good enough, but I don't think he's really a worry as far as the goal line goes. They don't have a big bruiser. They don't have a Jordan Howard that's healthy and going to come in and take 3 touchdowns away from Hurts. And Hurts is so talented down there. I think you can take advantage of it.
My bold call for the season, and again, it didn't end up being that bold, except I think I put it on film at an early part, but it kind of got chalky, was Jalen Hurts, QB1 overall. And again, not that exciting of a take right now, but he's in play there. And I think if this happens in a real draft, if the 2 quarterbacks go, the next one is obviously going to be Josh Allen. So I'll pretend we're in this. I'm not trying to make a mockery of our mockery draft here, but Josh Allen would probably go here. And so I just put him in at pick 18.
Those are the 3 guys, right?
That's it.
Yeah, those are the 3 guys. 34.5 points right now per game for Lamar Jackson, 29.9 for Josh Allen, 28.7 for Jalen Hurts. I think all 3 of those guys have hyper upside, big boom games, and those are the 3 quarterbacks right now that can sling it and can run it, and you can, and every time they get into the 5, anytime they get into the 10, it's not, oh, hey, who are they going to throw a fade up to? It's, you know, where's the RPO coming from? Is it going to be a slant to AJ Brown? Is it going to be a slant to Diggs? Or are they going to run it? Because all 3 of these guys, every week it feels like they're down there getting multiple carries inside the 5, inside the 10. And that is just that big of a game changer by itself. That 7-point play right there is so big in the fantasy game that I can't argue with Josh Allen at all right there.
Yeah. And I think when we get into next season, let's just fast forward. You are going to be talking about these 3 guys, if the status doesn't change, as late second round picks. I mean, we pushed them up a little bit because we're in season. It's time to, we're trying to win, but I think that all 3 of them are going to be in conversation on the 2-3 turn. And, you know, you're going to have people that say you're an idiot. I'm never doing it. Oh, these guys are my QB 1, 2, and 3, but they're not going to be on my team. Okay, let's see how that works out for you, you know? All right, you're up at pick 19 as we're, getting to the back end here of our mock draft, redo mock draft from week 4 forward.
All right, this guy has been getting pushed down and pushed down and pushed down after being a guy that was 8, 9, 10 in these first-round picks, as a first-round pick over the last few months. Tough matchups to start the season. Asante Samuel, Byron Murphy, Christian Fulton, 90 air yards, 9,245. But the output really hasn't been there since week 1. Going Devontae Adams in Vegas. They're going to be in a lot of big games the rest of the season, including the next few. They get to get the Chiefs this next week or in 2 weeks, whatever it is. It's just pure usage, pure output. He's going to need the targets. He's going to get the targets, 30% target share. You can't really argue with it. 6th in routes run, number 1 in red zone targets. He's got 10. I like Devontae Adams. I love this value here at the 2-7.
Yeah, it's hard to argue because you're getting a value on him versus where he was going in the early draft, you know, in the seasonal drafts. He was going at the late first round. If he would getting drafted at this spot, like this 18, 19 spot, nobody would really be complaining. The only concern, and again, there's no concern at this value because Devontae Adams is going to get fed. It's just that he's seeing floor games that were not there last season. And the obvious reason is because it's Aaron Rodgers. And if they continue to bracket him as they did in the last game, it seems like Coach Josh McDaniels has no problem going to Mac Hollins. I mean, it's a little disturbing here. I mean, I would make the same pick that you made. Go ahead, Cody.
But I was just going to say, with that, and I 100% agree, but with that, Mac Hollins being the wide receiver 2, they're going to be like, oh, okay, so Mac Hollins decided he wants to play football this year. Like, we've known he has this athleticism, 6'4", 215. He can run up in that 4'5", high 4'4s. It's just like, it feels like it's like this year's Zay Jones, and I have much respect for Mac. I think Mac is great, but all right, he can do it. The defense is like, all right, we're going to bracket Adams and make Mac Hollins beat us. And what did Mac Hollins do? He beat you. So now you got to rethink that. And now they're going to say, all right, well, we'll shade a little bit more over so we don't get burnt over the top. Now the run game is going to come into effect. I think it all circles together, right? Josh McDaniels was smart enough. Belichick was smart enough. These guys all worked together forever. I think you're going to see the wheel come back around. 17 targets, 7 and 10 for Adams, just because the ball isn't getting completed right now. Has a touchdown each of those three games. Just trust in the process here. Like you said, just the targets, the pure talent that Adams has. And I just, honestly, the shootouts that they're going to be in down this stretch, they're going to be fighting through every single game. We saw this last week. They almost came back against the Titans. So I'm okay with it.
All right, before we make my next pick, real quick, you got a trade question for the chat. And I know that normally we don't do trade questions, but I thought this one's pretty interesting. Just snap call on this, Cody. We had someone that wants one side A is Keenan Allen, Bateman, and Ertz. Side two is Pittman, Gabe Davis, and Irv Smith. It seems like a fair trade to me, either side. But for the most part, I'm going to err on that side of the Pittman, Gabe Davis, and Irv Smith.
Yes.
Okay.
In both dynasty and seasonal.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, just the better players are on one side. All right. I'm up at pick 20. Now, this one, I might be a little sneaky to you, but I'm curious of your reaction. If you don't like this pick, I want you to tell me, because I think this is an important pick. Running backs are hard to come by, man. And I think the one that we have to really adjust what's happened on the field is James Robinson. And I'm a little worried. I know Mixon, Aaron Jones, but those guys worry me a little bit. There is no concerns. And if Jacksonville is who we think they're going to be, if they beat Philly this week and James Robinson has another good game, you're going to be like, oh my God, Alan Sislowski was a genius. Now I could look foolish next week too, but he's RB3 on the year. We've already seen him have a top five season. He is redefining the narrative on Achilles. Trevor Lawrence is starting to become that great pick in the first round of a rookie draft, like by me, pick 7 over Javonte Williams. No, just kidding. But I am taking James Robinson here. It's adjusting to what's happening before everyone else does. I'm taking the risk right here at pick 20.
I respect it. 100% respect it. It's ballsy, to say the least, given the guys that are still on the board. But you're taking him with what you know, and we're doing with what we know, right? I think Jacksonville is a top 10 offensive line right now. We just released the offensive line rankings the last 2 weeks at playerprofiler.com, and go check those out right now.
Who's the top three offensive lines?
Denver.
Denver,
Atlanta, and Philly.
Okay.
Atlanta's been running the shit out of the ball. Denver is just sneakily, and this is the confusing thing with like Denver as a whole. Their offensive line is great, but they just haven't been doing shit. And then Philadelphia, I think, goes without saying. And Jacksonville, when I got done with it, I was like, this makes sense, though, because what they spent on the offensive line, bringing in Scherf, bringing in Fortner, like, this makes sense. And yep. Then you see what James Robinson's doing. You see what Trevor Lawrence is doing. This offense is taking a complete
lift. That's what I'm saying.
Then you look at the defense. The defense is completely getting ignored right now, but I think the offense is offensive-wise. And I think the sneaky thing also is, like, ETN, everyone's like, well, ETN, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, ETN is going to continue to get some, but that doesn't matter because the efficiency with James Robinson, keeping him in for 60%. If you look at the games that Derrick Henry had a couple seasons ago in that 2020 year, when he went ballistic, I think he had one game over 80% snap share in those games in the season where he went for 2000 yards. You don't need to be in for 90% of the snaps, 95% of the snaps, 60%, 59%, 52% for James Robinson, and still cresting 20 fantasy points. That's impressive.
That's what I'm saying. And if it goes up from there, and he presumably will get healthier and healthier and healthier if he's not already. I mean, you know, so it's, and he's got a touchdown in every game. He's the goal line back, right? I mean, he's the trusted guy, and he just keeps defying the odds. So running backs are going to run thin here a little bit. You know, you're going to have your ups and downs. James Robinson is Mr. Consistent. I've kept you way longer than I said I would, Cody. You're always generous to me with your time. So let's knock out the rest of these picks here. You are up at pick 21.
I didn't even realize the time flew by so fast. I don't even care. I'm here forever for my brother.
I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you having me on here. So we're at the 209 here, and yep. This is my Saquon Barkley team. Do I want to go back to running back again, or do I go receiver? I think I'm going receiver. And the reason I'm going receiver is because I think there's just a handful of guys that are left that are going to continue to get that output, that target share that we're looking for. There's one guy that really hasn't burst onto the scene yet in 2022, had a great 2021. I'm not going Deebo Samuel. I'm actually going to go CeeDee Lamb. Might be a surprise to a lot of people. You're buying the Cooper Rush right now. Cooper Rush, I mean, he's doing his best Mac Jones impression. Number two target share for CeeDee Lamb. Tolbert started to get snaps last week. Gallup should be back soon. It's only going to elevate this team. Number two target share, number three in overall targets, number two in air yard share for CeeDee Lamb. He's just starting to get going, 122, 104, 130 air yards, double-digit targets every single week. Trust the process with CeeDee Lamb. It's going to continue to grow, continue to build, taking him here at the 209.
Yeah, it's a tale of two halves in the last game. Had he not produced in that second half, and by the way, that catch that he made in the end zone, it wasn't just like he got lucky. That was one of the sickest catches of the year, don't you think?
I mean, outside George Pickens, but I think the Lamb catch was – he needed that, though. That was like – that's where you – do I think he's a pure alpha? No. But do I think he's one of the better beta receivers, the better number twos overall in the NFL, and he's working in that number one role. Imagine if he caught that one ball that he dropped. You're looking at a stat line that's 9 for 120, and he's got – 2 touchdowns and 34 fantasy points. And then you're talking about a guy that's not wide receiver 23. He's wide receiver 14 or 13 or whatever. Right. So it's just a different context. And everyone right now is like, oh, fuck him. He dropped that ball. Sorry. I don't know if I could cuss or not, but
you're good.
Ball, whatever it is, what it is. It's Lamb's a stud, right? And even with Cooper Rush, he's getting it done. Dak's going to come back. The running game's going to keep going. The offensive line's going to get healthier. Gallup, I'm not worried. I think Lamb's going to continue to get these targets.
Yeah, I mean, that drop was disturbing, and then he just totally made good on it. So
it's like he was like running down the field. His eyes, and it's like.
And for fantasy football, I don't think that Cooper Rush really matters. I mean, CeeDee Lamb's going to get his targets. It's just what he does with those opportunities. I like that pick. You're getting some value on him versus the first round. Now, have you noticed players that are falling? And I'm just going to do some table talk here and some names that have not been drafted yet. If we draft them, that's fine. But DeAndre Swift now has a 3-week injury. You're not going to take him in this range anymore. Najee Harris has been, you know, probably was overpriced as a first or second round pick. Should have been a third round pick the whole time anyway. And the other guy on the board, I don't want to call him out, but there is a running back that had a big week last week. I'm not going to take him. I know that I'm taking a pick here that cannot fail at this ADP, and there is a case for him to vault into the first round, and that's Javonte Williams. Again, it hasn't been great yet, but I think that this is the floor. So it won't be, it will be at least a single or a double if it doesn't work out. And it's a complete home run grand slam if Melvin Gordon does miss the time and this Denver offense continues to get it together. If Russ can, I mean, listen, there's growing pains with a new quarterback on a new team. I still have faith that they'll get it together. So I'm going to take Javonte Williams here. It's a total upside pick. There are better floor picks here. Javonte Williams, you're up at the, unless you want to make a quick comment there, you are up at pick 23.
I'll let you have it. I'll move on to this next pick right here. This is my Stephon Diggs pick at the 102. So I'm pairing him with a running back. And this is a guy, you know, this is kind of could be classified as kind of in your James Robinson area, right? This is a guy that was overlooked coming into the season for a multitude of reasons. The offense sucks. He's not going to be able to do anything. He can't repeat what he did in the early part of last season, blah, 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 blah. He's currently the RB6. Last season, the first three games, 16.3 fantasy points per game, RB9. This year, through the first 3 weeks, RB6, 16.3 fantasy points per game. I am continuing to trust the process. I just made a TikTok on this guy because he's a dog. He's an animal. He's elusive. He's electric. And he's just overall Cordarrelle Patterson right here.
Whoa!
Crazy, right? Listen to this. So listen, let me
lay a land. Was not expecting that.
Craziest thing you'd ever think of, right? Ahead of these other guys, ahead of the Swifts, the Cooks, the Ford, a lot of injury risk players. Again, like look at Eckler still on the board. Eckler might not get drafted in these top 24 because I don't know why he was ever going 103, 104, but it is what it is. Back to Cordarrelle Patterson. I just did a TikTok on this. You look at the career touches entering season number 10, which is this year. He's 31 and a half years old. He's got 874 touches in his career. 10 seasons, all right? That's 87 touches a season. Derrick Henry, entering year 4, which was 2020, 861. So he's got 15 more touches through 10 seasons than Henry had through four. And Henry, notoriously, we know, did not have the biggest workload through Bama, did not have the biggest workload through his first 4 years because of DeMarco Murray. You look at what Derrick Henry did, and everyone's like, oh, he's 31 and a half years old for Patterson. He's not going to be able to do anything. I'm not saying Cordarrelle Patterson is going to go for 2,000 yards, but when you watch him on tape, he looks like one of the best running backs in football. He has made vast, vast improvements. The offensive line has been fantastic this year. They have a top five offensive line in the running game, especially if not, they arguably one of the top three offensive lines as far as running purely. Otherwise, 31-year-old running backs, Curtis Martin, Tiki Barber, both had over 1,600 yards, over 40 receptions. It can be done at the running back position, let alone the workload, like I just mentioned. Then you talk about the usage. Like I said, with Henry, one game over 80% snap share in those 31 games in 2019 and 2020 under Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith is now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. 18 of those 31 games, he was under 70% snap share. For Cordarrelle Patterson, 60.5% snap share on average. 22 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown in week one. You can continue to expect this output from Cordarrelle Patterson, 16 fantasy points per game. And when you're looking at the wide receiver position right now, it's the Mike Williamses, the Mike Evans, the Cortland Suttons. I prefer a Cordarrelle Patterson. I know what the output is. As long as his offensive line stays healthy, Atlanta is going to be in a lot of games. They're going to win a lot? No, but they're going to be in a lot of games because of Cordarrelle Patterson and because of Marcus Mariota.
Cody Carpentier, you just made this podcast great. You just made this podcast great. I thought he would fall to the third round. I was going to talk about him as the best pick in the third round. So you just broke our podcast. CPAT, he does look like a real NFL running back, and it's not about the age. It's about the number of carries. And I like that you identified Atlanta as having a plus offensive line and you said a top five offensive line, top eight offensive line. Wow. I'm glad I have him on this one team that's important to me. All right. I was not expecting that. I need to catch my breath here. Hold on one second. All right. This is how we're going to handle the last pick, though. So even though the last pick is mine, what we're going to do is you have to stick around to hear the last pick. We're each going to give our last pick, what the last pick would be. But first, before you hear the last pick of our redo mock draft, I just wanted to let everybody know that football is officially back on Monkey Knife Fight with all the NFL action you're looking for. And if college football is more your speed, we've got plenty of that too on Monkey Knife Fight. There's no sharks, no salary caps, no math. It's just easy to play, easy to win. Daily fantasy player props. Join at monkeyknifefight.com and you'll get a free first game using the promo code RWNFL. That's RotoWire NFL, RWNFL, to get your first deposit match instantly up to $100. What are you waiting for? Join Monkey Knife Fight today. All right, our last pick. I'm going to make what I would make as the last pick in the first round. Everyone can see all the picks floating on the bottom. We'll put them in the audio podcast as well. And then you will have the last word of this podcast. So for me, it's between two running backs. I probably will take Derrick Henry. I don't have a real strong lean there. So that's who I would take here for obvious reasons. He's fallen. He had two bad games and one upside game. He's still going to get 20 carries plus a game. It's a safe pick, especially, you know, if you took Cooper Kupp as the 1.1, you feel pretty good about it. Who would you take here if you had the last pick and Cooper Kupp was your first pick?
Yeah, with Cooper Kupp being my first pick, that I think for me axes out Debo. The aspect of Debo and Kupp, this isn't 2021, buddy. I think Debo's going to be just fine. I think Kupp's going to be just fine, but I want to hit that running back position. You do have the turn pick here, so I mean that's two guys you could.
Yeah, do your turn pick. So you took Kupp at one, and this, by the way, shows that Kupp is a good 1.1 because you can go any direction here on the two. So who would be your 2-3 turn picks?
Yeah, your flexibility gives you Henry, Debo. I think that would be the flexibility that you would take advantage of because you know the usage is going to be there from the running back and receiver position for Debo. And then running back, to me, like a lot of people are going to say, well, why not Swift? It's like, well, the injury. Why not Cook? Injury. Why not why not Aaron Jones? Another guy in the backfield. Why not Eckler? He should have never went 103. Who else is there? Fournette.
Najee.
Fournette's in the conversation. Yeah, Najee, the injury thing as well. I think Fournette's in the conversation. But I think when you're talking about pure upside, and I know the opportunity share is there right now for Fournette, and Tampa's been great. I think that might be the sneaky one you can talk about, but I prefer the big dog. Give me Derrick Henry here at the 212. I'm 100% in lockstep with you, Alan. And then I think you just naturally with this build come back at the 301 and probably take a Debo or something.
Yeah, you can go any direction there. Debo's fine. If you really want to build your running back depth. I mean, so just a couple of notable omissions before I let you go. Other guys that have landed in the top five at the running back position that we're not buying, apparently, are Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We're not buying Jamal Williams as a top 10 back, even though he's in a good spot. And then obviously, if Khalil Herbert, let's say Montgomery was out for the rest of the season, you think Khalil Herbert would be worth a third round pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he would be. Right now, this offensive line in Chicago has been ridiculous as far as run blocking goes. I don't quite understand what's going on as far as like the components of the offense and why they're not scoring, why they're not throwing more. But as far as the running game goes, this offensive line is as shocking, I guess you'd say, or as surprising this season as Atlanta and as Jacksonville have been.
All right. That's fair. We'll end it there. Cody, you follow Cody at Carpentier NFL. You can see it in the video description below. I'll link it in the video and audio description. Anything else that you want to tell people quickly that you're working on? Obviously, you're working on TikToks. I see you all over TikTok. Is it at Player Profiler on TikTok, right?
It's at Player Profiler on TikTok. I just, if you like that Cordero Patterson argument, I made that argument on TikTok as well. I got a couple other ones coming out there. Traylon Burks, Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, all these guys. But yeah, you can find a lot of work on TikTok. You can find me mostly on playerprofiler.com, at Carpentier NFL on Twitter. And right now, again, if you want to go over there, we got the offensive line rankings on playerprofiler.com, the DFS Dominator. Shout out to Dario Offstein. The whole site right now, $50 off for the all-in package. You go over there, check that out right now. No promo code needed, just on the site. Alan, as always, I appreciate you having me on, brother. I think you and me have been on each other's shows more than I have been on or brought anybody on my shows. So I really appreciate you. I know you're down in Florida. I hope all is dialed in down there. I hope you're ready for the next week or so. So
yeah, I appreciate the good wishes, man. And Cody, you are, you know, listen, you can thank me all you want, but we get requests. We get like people hitting us up on DM saying, when are you going to have Cody back? I said, just go watch his podcast. Why do I have to invite him on ours again? So anyway, you're a favorite on RotoWire podcast. You'll be back again. I'm taking a pause. I'm doing more of the subbing in as the host now. So when I do my regular off-season podcast, you're usually my first guest because we do a first pass at the rookies, usually the week after the Super Bowl. So that's going to be your official time slot for the rest of your life. So just, you know, put that in the books now. And all right, we'll be back. We'll be on, if you're listening live, we'll be on SiriusXM tonight. That's Wednesday, 8 p.m. I'm subbing in for Jeff Erickson. And if you are hearing this on the replay, every Sunday, we're on SiriusXM at 9 a.m. getting you ready for your fantasy lineups. All right, everybody, we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us for our mock draft.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.